The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." "Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. "A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, 'See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?' He replied, 'Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again. I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. I think when we hear that, it's a very well-meaning thing to say when somebody is having a hard time. And maybe even as I say that, maybe I'm contradicting our lesson from Corinthians. And I think Paul is a very, very wise writer. But sometimes in preaching, yeah, we're planting seeds, right, where ideas of faith and faith can grow. And sometimes I think my job as a preacher is to prune away the bushes when they get a little overwrought. And I think this idea, everything happens for a reason, I think it's a well-meaning one, but I think it's one that we have to prune a little bit. Because right around the corner, I mean, just like 15 degrees turned to the side from everything happens for a reason, is the idea that God is the author of all punishment, that God desires punishment and death for people. And this, I find no basis for in Scripture. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, I remember turning on the TV and seeing some TV preachers on the news saying things like, "Well, this must be punishment for these people's sins." Lord, have mercy. When we hear this parable today from Jesus, we get these two characters, one the landowner who wants to chop down a fig tree, and one a gardener who wants to spread manure around it. And I think there's a temptation to believe that God is the landowner, right, whose hands are like covered in calluses from using an axe so much. That we have this idea that God is really interested in punishment and blame. But I think when we imagine God that way, we're not talking about God. We're talking about ourselves. We're really interested in punishment and blame. About 6 months ago, I learned that a friend of mine had died of COVID-19, complications arising from COVID-19. And this was a guy who, I'm going to say he's a friend, but he was part of a men's group that I belong to in a little church, and is a really diverse group of guys. We go out for coffee once a week. Some of these guys were old hippies, right? Some of these guys were people who used to hate hippies with a vengeance back in the day, back in the 60s. But somehow we all got together for coffee, and it was just a lovely group of guys. And I got to know each of them. And they had totally politically different views, social views and things like that, but we always managed to have a good time together. But I got to know Jim well enough during these visits that when I heard about his feelings about COVID-19, they didn't surprise me. Jim was the kind of guy who, when March 2020 closed things down, I heard through the grapevine that Jim was very angry about these things. He yelled at his pastor in front of the church, called him an idiot, which that happens from time to time. We could take it. But I've been there. But Jim, you know, as things closed down, Jim said, well, this is a hoax. And then as social distancing recommendations came out, Jim said, no, I will not do that. And then masking came out, and Jim said, this is all a lie. And then vaccines came out, and Jim said, absolutely not. You're not sticking me with that stuff. And so I heard then, 6 months ago, from Jim's pastor, that he had died of COVID-19. He had been found in his apartment alone. And he had been sick for a while, but he had refused to go to the hospital. And I have to just confess to you, my confession is that the thing that went through my head was he brought it on himself, right? That this was somehow his fault. That he, you know, we play this game, right? We say, we think like righteousness is my being rightness. Oh, I love being right. Yeah, Jim was my friend, but he brought this on himself. And I think anytime we imagine God as someone who has blisters on his hand from using that axe to cut down that fig tree, we fashion a God in our image, a God who is very interested in righteousness as my being rightness. And today Jesus is saying, no, no, no. That's not who God is. That's who you are. Repent. Today, these Galileans come to Jesus and they say, did you hear what happened in the temple? These Galileans were offering sacrifice to God and Pilate murdered them there in the temple. And Jesus says, the next question you're going to ask me is about whether they deserved it, whether they had some sins that they had this coming. And Jesus says, no way. That's not how God works. God does not have blisters on God's hands. God's not interested in that. In fact, Jesus says, we must repent, not of our sins, but repent of exactly what I did when I heard of Jim's death. Repent of this blame game, this idea that we know what's best, that everything happens for a reason. Repent of that, or we'll die the same way. In fact, Jesus tells a story then about a fig tree, about a landowner who has a fig tree and a gardener. And what's funny about this story is about 5 weeks ago, I learned something interesting about fig trees that I didn't know. I was out with Pastor Manuel from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. I was telling him about my garden, and I said, oh, I've got this hillside. I'm going to plant avocado trees. And Manuel said, skip it. Those things die. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've had 5 avocado trees in 15 years. I've killed every one of them. He said, plant a fig tree. There's nothing you can do to kill a fig tree. So I planted a fig tree and an avocado tree. I'm going to try my hand at both. But Pastor Manuel said, look, I can go ages without watering that thing. I can neglect it. I can forget to prune it. I can forget to fertilize it. And it still bears fruit. So there's something really wrong in today's gospel, that we have a fig tree of all things. He's not saying an avocado tree. He's saying a fig tree won't grow. This thing that, boy, you couldn't make this thing not grow if you tried. The landowner says, we got a problem. It's as obvious as what happened to Jim. Cut this thing down. And Jesus says, there's also a gardener. Gardener who says, no, let me dig around it. And that's an interesting thing, because if you remember, after Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection, some people come to the tomb. The tomb is empty, and there's somebody waiting there for him. Who is it? A gardener. And they don't recognize Jesus as the gardener. Mary says, sir, where have you put him? And she thinks he's a gardener. Very interesting. Here we have this gardener who says, let me take some manure and spread it around. God's hands aren't covered in blisters from an axe. God's hands are covered in manure. There's someone I can follow. You could call your pastor an idiot now, but... Last week at Shepherd of the Valley, we had somebody in our midst for our social justice meeting who I think her hands are covered in manure. The executive director of Border Angels was here with us to talk to us about the work that Border Angels does at the border here in San Diego. And you might have read the front page of the Union Tribune today. We're hearing about discrimination of asylum seekers at the border. It's a great article. Check it out when you get home. But she's talking about this, and she said, look, I deal with asylum seekers every day. The stories are vast, they are varied, and they are much more complex. Many of these people are fleeing violence from countries all over the world, violence of the nature that we can't even imagine. People who have watched their loved ones killed in front of them, who have had to flee their homes, leave everything, and they come to our border, and they are told, wait outside while we try your case inside the United States for about a year and a half. And she said, if you've ever been in need of help, you know that's just not how this works. If you're fleeing for your safety, you're going to do anything you possibly can to get to safety. And so Border Angels does this very contentious thing, very controversial thing. They've made a lot of enemies. But they go out into the desert with water strapped on their backs, and they drop it off in the desert at undisclosed locations. Water, food, maybe medicine, maybe a little coat if it's cold outside. And they walk away. They just wait for people to come and get it. People who are doing that desperate thing going around the checkpoint and into safety. And Dulce Garcia, the director of Border Angels, I think she's got some manure on her hands. People are saying what they're doing is horrible, what they're doing is encouraging. And Dulce says, look, I couldn't care less about whether what people are doing are right or wrong. I couldn't care less about whether it's moral or immoral or legal or illegal. What I care about is saving lives. We don't follow a God whose hands are covered in blisters from wielding the axe and chopping us down. I don't believe that everything happens for a reason, because I think it's just a quick hop, skip, and a jump over to that God, and I'm just not interested in that. We follow Jesus, the gardener, whose hands smell like manure, and who says, come, get your hands down in this dirt with me. Let's let this fig tree have another year. We call that grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.